110 days in Ann Arbor, Michigan, on the football field.
We don't want to coach average. I don't want to be around you. Why be around average?
We do want to win because winning is the epitome of team effort.
Every coach who ever put a whistle around their neck strives to be the head coach at The Ohio State University.
Welcome back, everybody. Buckeye Bar Guys here on Buckeye Bar Talk. I'm Mike.
And I'm John.
Today's date is Saturday, May 21st, 2022. And a couple things we want to go through today. First, we got a contract extension this week came down for Ryan Day. So we'll talk about that. Then we will piggyback a little bit off of our conversation from last week when we talked about the, you know, possible divisions going away. Well, that has been approved by the NCAA and the Pac-12 has now moved on that. So we will begin talking about that. And then we will finish up on a crazy week in the SEC this week. The Nick Saban and Jimbo feud was pretty exciting. So not a ton of like Ohio State news, but it's all relative that a lot of this stuff does include the Buckeyes in the greater landscape.
Right.
So we'll go through it. All right. So yeah, Ryan Day officially was given his contract extension by the university. Still has to be approved by the Board of Trustees, but that's pretty much a formality from what we understand. So he's going from $7.5 million up to $9.5 million a year, extensions through 2028, and basically equals him with Mel Tucker now within the conference. And officially only Saban, Riley, and Kelly, I'm not sure of the order, are in front of him now. I know Dabo is right around in that 9.5 as well. So It looks like those three are in front, and then kind of Dabo, Tucker, and Day are in that 9.5 range. So, big news. Glad to get the extension done. A lot of rumors through the offseason and stuff that Ryan Day was going to jump ship. Who knows? Some of that could have been from his agent. I mean, you know how these games are worked and stuff like that. But Ryan Day is definitely one of the great young minds of football, in my opinion. So it's nice to keep him now extended, especially I think he had a good offseason of making appropriate changes. And now it's time for the university to put their commitment behind him and see these changes through. And so pretty excited about that. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's really great. You know, I mean, I love him as a coach. I think he's, as you said, one of the great young minds in college football. So it's great to lock him down for a little bit, get him paid. I mean, there's no reason Mel Tucker should be making more than him. So definitely to bring him up to the same, you know, salary is a big step. I mean, it's crazy, though, how much money these coaches are getting paid right now, though, to be honest with it. I mean, it's just what, like, Nick Saban, all of his, and, you know, we'll talk more about good old Nick later on in this episode, but all of his money is, I mean, it's freaking earned, man. It is. And just some of these contracts got wild in this offseason. And, you know, you're paying for guys that, not saying Ryan Day isn't one of the best, you know, five coaches in college football. He very well could be, but, you know, would, I mean, are these guys really worth it? Would they have been worth that, you know, 3 years ago with their, even with their careers? I mean, you could just, you know, back up their careers a couple years. I mean, Lincoln Riley, what, like $10 million a year or something? Like, what has he won? And that's you could say the same thing about Ryan Day. What, you know, he's won a playoff game, unlike Lincoln has, but you know what, he's making 9.5. I mean, Mel Tucker, like, that's just completely out of left field. So I think the salaries are wild. But when they are like that, I definitely think it's justified for Ryan Day to be making as much as these other guys. And I'm happy he is. I mean, I don't want him going anywhere.
I mean, Ohio State, they have to be in that now. I mean, you can say they're wild all you want and stuff. And I'm sure there's a part of Gene Smith that like does not like necessarily signing over that contract, but you know, we're in an age of competition and, you know, that's what the market value is. And so Ohio State needs to be in that market value, what their coaches are getting paid, especially in football. And, you know, I mean, Holtmann got a contract extension this go around too. But you know, when it comes to football, you know, Ryan Day needs to be whoever the head coach is. I mean, whether it's Ryan Day, Urban Meyer, Luke Fickle, Jim Tressel at this point. And Jim Tressel's, I mean, they got to be a top five.
They got to be top five because it still has to be one of the five best jobs in the country. I mean, think about it like this. If Ryan Day, you know, jumps ship, you got to pay someone that money to be able to lure them over here. And who, like, reasonably, who are you going to steal from someone, or who are you going to get to coach Ohio State? I mean, you're not going to get anyone with that caliber for being cheap. And, you know, at that point, I mean, a lot of these guys are locked up in the South. They're, you know, schools that they have, you know, just as big as wallets as Ohio State. You and I, you know, we love the Buckeyes, and we'll say they're the number one coaching job in the country. I mean, I believe it, but it's still where, you know, these other guys are. They're kind of in maybe better destinations than warmer destinations than Columbus, Ohio. So, you know, you got to pay Ryan Day if you want Ryan Day to be the guy. Cause I mean, what's your choice there? Fork over $10 million for Urban to come back to Ohio State.
Yeah.
And then how's that look? How does that look? You know?
Yeah, exactly. Now the one thing I do, kind of like the just interesting topic, just to kind of piggyback off this thing for these college coaches, like, you know, you, and I think this is relevant because, you know, Urban just tried this experiment. Is it, they are to the point now, is it, if you're at one of these big universities, does it even, I mean, I know your ego is going to be like, you know, I want to see if I can do it in the NFL. And these are alphas. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are guys that have big egos. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But like, are we at the point now, like some of these guys, it's like, and I know the two coaching styles are different because you get a little bit more of an off season as an NFL coach than you do as a college coach, because, you know, recruiting is not a factor in the NFL.
Yeah.
But you know, are you at the, if you like college football, if you like being a college football coach, like, I mean, you're like a god at one of these universities, and it's, once you get entrenched there, unless there's a scandal or, you know, you just have a bad, you know, stretch, I mean, it's very hard to lose your job.
Right.
And I mean, you're almost as, I mean, you're basically more powerful in a lot of these universities than, you know, the president of the university. I mean, in some of these states, you might be more powerful than the governor. So, like, I mean, and that's not a stretch.
No, it's true. That's for sure true.
At that. So, like, are we at the point now because of these contracts that are going up? Is it, does going to the NFL even really make sense when, you know, you got a lot more power in college football as a head football coach than you do in the NFL?
I mean, I think you said something very important there about a scandal. If, like, for Urban, and I don't know Urban Meyer. I mean, I could be completely off base with what I'm saying here. I don't think he would have got lured away to the NFL if he was at Ohio State still. But he, you know, he took a couple years off. He did the Fox thing. The opportunity presented itself. He was like, hey, let me see if I can do this at the next level. I'm not sure Urban Meyer is not the next head coach of a huge university someday.
I think he is. I think he'll probably sit out this year. And, you know, I still think that's kind of sour in a lot of Buckeyes fans' mouth. But, you know, I see Urban kind of being back somewhere next year, mm-hmm. after this year, and it could be somewhere very big. And, you know, I mean, and I know a lot of the big destinations that you thought he was going to end up at are now filled, you know, USC, Texas. But, and I don't see him going to the Big Ten, but, you know, I could see him going to the SEC. I could see him going to the, what if he ends up at like Florida State or one of these?
Right.
And, you know, I mean, there is a possibility to that. And, yeah, so that would be, that'd be interesting. And, you know, he's going to make this type of money.
Right. Well, and with, I mean, the NIL stuff, and we're going to talk about that later, but I mean, how many years is the boosters in Texas and Austin going to give Sark to become a winner? I mean, he has 3 years to get them close to the playoffs or in the playoffs. Yeah. So
especially now, because
he's already down one. He has two more years or he's fired. And I truly believe that.
And, you know, he's kind of like, he's in a position right now where, you know, the Texas boosters, they used to be unofficially in charge of that program. Now they're like officially.
Now they're running the show down there.
we legally gave you all this money to, you know, bring in these players and these transfer kids and all this stuff. You better win with them.
I mean, everyone knew for Texas, though, who's really in charge of that football team with how their coaching changes have been since Mack Brown. I mean, including Mack Brown. But the fact that, I mean, at this point, like, why isn't, you know, Charlie Strong still the coach? And I know, I mean, maybe bad example, but you know what I'm saying? Like, there's no reason, like, you, hindsight, like, why did you ever replace the guy for who the hell was the off Herman? Why did you replace him for Tom Herman? And then, you know, why after last year's performance, why'd you replace Herman with Sark? So
yeah.
So we'll see.
So maybe
he sits out 2 years because he knows he can get to Austin if Sark doesn't get them in the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, I think there could be a lot of different places. I mean, does he want that competitive craziness of the SEC back? Well, I mean, there could be. I mean, could you imagine Urban in Tennessee? I mean, there.
Well, yeah, that was another spot I was thinking of. I think Heupel, he'll be there for a minute, I think.
But I mean, you never know. And, you know, this Auburn coach, I mean, he was close to being, I mean, I don't think they officially fired him, right? But he was close to being fired this year. I mean, could Urban end up at Auburn?
Well, I mean, that portion of the United States, you know, Texas over into the Southeastern Conference, that's one where really, you know, the image of the coach doesn't really mean a shit to anybody. So if Urban Meyer comes knocking and says, hey, I want to be the head coach of your football team, really to any of those, you know, clustered, they're not going to be on some moral high horse that they're not going to let him come in. Yeah. You know,
I mean,
especially if the boosters catch wind of it.
There's some, I mean, there is.
He's not going to coach Vanderbilt, Mike.
I know, but you think about you think about Petrino and you think about the Price down at Alabama. There is
you can't screw up when you already have the job. I'm saying before.
But I don't know if maybe they turned a blind eye to a fully clothed young woman, you know, dancing with you at a bar. Like, so they might, I don't think any of the issues at Jacksonville would give them pause. Like, you know, that's just a coach being a coach, you know.
Yeah.
And coaches are allowed doing that stuff in college, you know. So,
I mean, maybe, I don't know. Maybe some would have a pause about going for Urban Meyer, but there's definitely some schools that they would let Urban be their coach.
Oh, yeah. I agree with
that. I'm not even sure Ohio State wouldn't let Urban be their coach again if it came down to it.
I think a couple more years would have to the past, but I think Ryan's going to be here for at least a few more years. And I've never been convinced that we'll see. Cause I don't know how much he hungers. I mean, I think the only thing that really pushes him towards the NFL in the long run is more about does college football just get out of control with the NIL stuff? And like, then it's kind of like, well, do I want to be coaching these pros or I want to be coaching those pros? Because they're basically pros almost.
I mean, I had a nightmare scenario. And what's the Bengals head coach? Zach Taylor? Is that his name?
Yeah.
Okay.
I believe so.
They didn't like him up until he made the Super Bowl. Let's just throw that out there. The fans, everybody hated him until they made the Super Bowl. What if they keep that like dynamic young core of playmakers on offense? I mean, we know Ryan loves Columbus, so you wouldn't necessarily have to move or anything. You could keep your family in Columbus and coach Cincinnati. Like, yeah. that was a scary thought for me that I had a couple weeks ago. I'm like, oh my God, if the Bengals take a step back, I mean, they don't even like Zach Taylor. They would fire him a year after a Super Bowl loss.
I don't know I personally don't know what Zach Taylor's contract is right now, but the Brown family would have, they're not necessarily known as being the most happy. I don't know if they would compete with Ohio
State. No, they probably wouldn't. Yeah, they're not really known in Cincinnati for paying coaches or players for any of their professional sports. So, yeah, we're actually probably pretty safe then.
Yeah, I'd be more worried about I'd be more worried about our owner of this way. He's somebody that's has got experience of having coaches, multiple coaches on the payroll.
Well, yeah. And you know, the offense is going to be more dynamic. Stefanski's not much of a throwing coach. So
I mean, those are just things.
Let's not dwell too much on that. We got a big contract extension. That's great. Yeah. You know, Day's going to be here forever.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely agree with that. I think we definitely have several more years with Ryan Day before, you know, possibly that bridge has to be crossed. I think he has personal goals within college football.
Yeah.
I mean, to be considered a legend at Ohio State, you have to, at least at this point, you got to equal Trussell and Meyer.
Yeah, you got to get one. Then, you got to get one national title.
And you got to, and then you really cement yourself if you get to two. Then you start really getting into Woody territory, that you're, you know, one of the two best head coaches that ever coached there. So, right. Like, you know, I think he needs to do that first before he's willing to start thinking NFL.
I could see that.
Yeah. All right, next topic. So we're not going to spend a lot of time on this one because we spent a lot of time on it last week, mm-hmm. and you know, the vote ends up happening this week. So it seems like divisions are going bye-bye now. The NCAA approved that. Basically, what that means is you don't need to have divisions to play a conference championship, and you're allowed to have number one versus number two in the conference. And, you know, you set that up with whatever tiebreakers you need to set up if there's multiple spot teams in those top two spots. But so it seems like basically from the Pac-12, what their comments are, they're going to have one versus two next year. I mean, we talked about the ACC last week, that they seem pretty close. I think that this is pretty much guaranteed now at this point for them. Even the SEC is being thrown out there, that they want to go to, you know, probably once Texas and Oklahoma join the conference, that instead of trying to figure out how they're going to divide everybody up and what's the best way to dividing it, that they're just going to go to a one versus two type thing.
I mean, what does that put them at? 16 teams?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's a lot to think about with, like, how are we going to split everybody and make sure everyone's still playing who they need to play and keep the conferences balanced, or the divisions within the conferences balanced.
Well, I mean, you would almost, like, I think the only easy way to do it, like, probably to do it, is they would have to move the Alabama schools to the east, because those are the next schools eastward. And then that would load up the east, like, because mm-hmm. that would put Florida, Alabama, and Georgia all on the same side.
I wouldn't be shocked if Florida starts making a comeback.
Yeah, I think they could. And, so I think that it seems like from the rumblings you're hearing down there, that's probably the route they're going to go once Texas and Oklahoma's official, maybe even be sooner. But I think it seems like that's happening down there. So I would have to think that the Big Ten is going to follow suit. Mm-hmm. It seems like, I mean, when you kind of read, we talked about this last week, when you listen to Gene, the pre-spring, his press conference he did, he seems like he kept on saying he's going to do what's best for Ohio State. But if this is what the conference wants to do, this is not bad for Ohio State. No. This is because, you know, Ohio State outside of 1 year would have basically been in since 2014 or whatever, they would have been in the championship game every year if this was the format. So it doesn't hurt Ohio State. And as like we said, it doesn't hurt the other powers in the East, because this definitely opens up a lot more rematches of Ohio State, Penn State, and Ohio State, Michigan. And you got to figure that those schools are all going to keep each other as permanent opponents.
Yeah.
So like that, because those are all huge games. Those are moneymaker games. And I don't see the Big Ten going away from that. So just your thoughts now that it's official, that I think this is the route that they're going to end up going.
I don't know why the Big Ten hasn't made the move like the Pac-12 has already done. No, but like, seriously, I'm cool with it. I mean, like you said, Ohio State, really, I mean, 2015 would have been the only year Ohio State wouldn't have been in the conference title game. I'm still like, I didn't look up 2016 about Wisconsin, so that could be incorrect, but I can't imagine a one-loss Buckeye team wouldn't have been in there, even with the in-conference loss. But, you know, like, honestly, I mean, 2011, yeah, they, you know, I don't even know how many games they were out in 2011, because they beat Wisconsin head-to-head, so who knows? Maybe Fickell almost could have backed into that one. 2012, obviously, Ohio State should have been in there. 2013, they were in there. 2014, they were in there. You know, 2 years off, 2017, 18, 19, 20. And then, of course, last year, they would have been in also. So, yeah, I mean, you would have, the only year you would have missed would have been 2015. So I think it's great for Ohio State, personally, because I don't think there's anybody in the Big Ten that can consistently beat them year in, year out, that would keep them out of this conference title game. So I think that's amazing for them, but for the sport in general, you know, like, now that Georgia is an upper echelon team, yeah, they give at least some sort of balance in that SEC title game to the West team. Hopefully most of the time. I know LSU picked them apart, but LSU picked everybody apart that year. But the West just, the Big Ten West cannot compete with the Big Ten East.
No.
I mean, it's what it is. I mean, Wisconsin every year, I mean, they're just a fraud. Like, everyone thinks that they're great, and they only won, what, they won the first two?
Yeah.
And then.
And technically, Wisconsin was in.
Oh, yeah. They were, yeah, leaders. Yeah.
They were mostly with the East.
Because
I mean, the Michigan schools were in the West,
right?
Legends, but that's how it kind of.
But they weren't. They weren't the West. They were different divisions then. Correct.
Wisconsin was Ohio State and Penn State. Like, you know.
So since the West has never won, correct?
No, never since we went since 2014. Since they made East and West, the West has never won.
I mean, this is just so much better for, you know, college football and for the Big Ten. So I'm completely 100% on board with it. Now I want to know for you, three teams, because if it was that 3-5-5 format, who are your three teams you would hope Ohio State would have on their schedule every single year?
Well, I mean, just semantic wise, it's a little different because I think it wouldn't be 3-5-5 because we have 14 teams. I think the ACC has 13 teams. So I think it would be 3-6-5 or whatever.
Well, however you want to do it, but let's say you kept three every year.
Yeah. Yeah. The rotation, the back end rotation would have to be a little bit different. I don't think they could do 1 year half and 1 year the next, but, the three I would keep, I would say Michigan, Penn State, and then as much as I would love to say Michigan State, it's not going to
be. You're just staying in the East. You're not doing yourself any favors then.
I would say Indiana. That would be my third.
I could see Indiana. I
mean, as much as I would love to say, let's throw Wisconsin or let's throw Iowa.
I would love it to be Nebraska, but the travel just sucks with that.
Nebraska. If they could get Nebraska as the one, I mean, I like the Nebraska fan base for the most part. And so I would be definitely in favor of that one. I would love maybe to go out to Lincoln for a game.
Yeah.
And so that would be fun. So yeah, actually that would probably be my preferred three. I would see it being, I think it's going to be Indiana would be number
three. I agree with that. That would be 100% on what I would think it would end up being for Ohio State. You would keep Michigan and Penn State and then Indiana.
Yeah, that would be my thought process on that. Maybe if they decide to, you know, go old school, rivalry games and stuff like that, the damn turtle Illibuck. I mean, maybe that, Illinois over Indiana. But it would,
you keep Rutgers and Maryland far away from that every year one though.
Yeah. Yeah. Agree. You know, they get to keep each other and, you know, they can throw in a couple,
whatever the hell else they want. That's fine. I don't want them to be scheduled every single year.
And, you know, and that makes sense. Like, so if like a Rutgers or Maryland, you know, they have possibilities to be good. So say they're three permanent, say you're a Rutgers, your three permanent games should be kind of like Purdue and Maryland and, you know, whoever else, Northwestern or, you know, somebody three teams that you possibly could beat. Because that gives you three wins to a possible six win, you know, bowl berth.
Right.
That's better for the Big Ten. We're in the bigger, like, I don't need to be separated. Let's keep all the big boys. Let's put a bunch of weak teams on there. No, I want to play Michigan and I want to play Penn State. And if I get Nebraska, I want to play them too, because, you know, at least keep the challenge in there, because like the Big Ten needs to think about this strategically, you know, give your big time schools, try to get as many of your schools into the bowls as you can get.
Right.
And then try to get as many of your big schools with quality wins as they can get. So they can, you know, and it's not just about the wins. It's about, you know, playing quality opponents heading into the playoff, because you want to play quality teams. That's the better teams, the better prepared you are for, you know. So I think the Big Ten really needs to be strategic about that it's okay to let the teams that have not proven themselves over the years. And I mean, I get Northwestern is under Pat Fitzgerald. It's been a little different, but I mean, I would still not consider them a upper hand, upper level Big Ten team.
Sure.
But so let the lower level Big Ten teams play each other. That's their three permanent games, and let the big the bigger schools within the conference, that's their three permanent games. And that's how I would go with it.
It's a shame Rutgers or Maryland couldn't be a better team, because I think that would be interesting to be an every year game with Penn State. I think that could be really fun, but they're not good enough. I wouldn't want them to be an every year game with Penn State. One of them probably very well would end up being.
If we end up getting an Indiana, I would see one of those.
Yeah.
But it should only be one. It's not like, don't give Penn State like
us and those two.
Yeah. Like, you know, that's not fair. Like I said, to Penn State, I mean, Penn State, let them play the big schools. And, you know, that's more firepower for the end of the year. If they're the ones that come out of the conference, they want the firepower.
Right.
And you know,
yeah, totally agree. I love it. I mean, if it goes to just three every year, I mean, that's how I would think it would fall for Ohio State, would be Michigan, Penn State, and Indiana. I'd believe that. Yes.
Yeah. Because I think, I think Michigan's third would be Michigan State, probably, you know, and that would give Michigan State would have, you know, Penn State's third could be Michigan State. I mean, that would be an interesting schedule for them.
I would like it to be Nebraska, though, because I don't think Nebraska has any, like, they still don't have like a natural rival in the Big Ten. Like they're not like, you know, rooted against, you know, like that them, they're intertwined with like Iowa or Wisconsin or Minnesota. So I think that you could make that exception. You could make a case that, you know, Ohio State could play Nebraska every year, because that's, I mean, it's just blue blood against blue blood. And I know Nebraska might've fallen off over the years from that status, but that'd be cool.
Like if I was the Big Ten in Nebraska, I would say Iowa, Wisconsin, and Ohio State's are your three.
Yeah.
And I think that would be that's a good permanent base for them. And, you know, Wisconsin would have then Nebraska, Minnesota, and Iowa. That would be theirs. Mm-hmm. And you know, I would love to see us have Nebraska, and then maybe Penn State have Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State, and Michigan have basically the same as Penn State there. And, you know, so I think there's some good chances that you can have some really interesting, for the upper echelon teams, and then you rotate the rest in. And so, I mean, you think about Ohio State, if you play a Michigan, a Penn State, and then a Nebraska or a Wisconsin or, you know, whatever, an Iowa, if you would play one of those three teams and that's your permanent with Penn State and Michigan, you already know you're getting a good off, you know, non-conference game, because that's Ohio State schedules it or tries to schedule it. So, you know, that's four very good games on the schedule, and that makes the things interesting. Mm-hmm. You get an opportunity to lose a game and still be in the Big Ten championship game at the end of the year. Oh, you could possibly lose two games if you lose that non-conference game. And like last year, I mean, we lost a conference game and we lost a non-conference game, and we would still be in the Big Ten title game. And you know, and going back to the East versus West, just thought process. And, you know, I mean, there's been a few times where the West has had three losses, and, you know, there has never been an East team that has had less than two. And so that's just the stronger side of the conference is that.
Yeah.
And that's how I would go with it.
I agree for sure.
All right. Anything on this, or do we want to move on to the SEC drama of the week?
I'm ready to talk about Saban.
Yeah. All right. So Nick Saban blew the world up this week. The SEC, the SEC that never seemed like they had the walls, have never wanted to come down. And here comes Nick Saban, the blue ice dragon, knocking down the wall.
You're going to lose the people that aren't nerds.
Yeah. Game of Thrones reference there. But so he basically says that that, you know, he finished a second in recruiting this year. Well, first he says they do everything right. And with NIL, they had about 25 players, he said, made a combined like $3 million last year. Good for those guys. You know, but they want to do everything right, you know, get the guys recruited, and then they can go NIL, all that stuff he's kind of alluding to. And then he said, you know, they finished second in recruiting and Texas A&M beats them and they basically buy their team. And I'm not going to say that that's wrong, because that's exactly how I felt in this last recruiting cycle. I mean, like, but especially when you hear all the damn collectives and stuff that they're doing in the state of Texas, because Texas was doing it too. And it's they figured out the loopholes, and, you know, we kind of talked about,
I don't even know if there was really a loophole to figure out. They didn't give any groundwork for, you know, there were no guidelines.
Yeah. So, like, you know, we talked about this when the NCAA they were stupid. They didn't try to set guidelines how to do this. They should have realized the minute the state of California passed their law, and then the state of Florida immediately pretty much passed the law that, all right, we're in a different world now. This is name, image, and likeness world, and we got to try to get in front of this. Well, they didn't. And I've always said I said this several months ago, when the NCAA doesn't make the rules, a university like Texas will make the rules.
Correct.
And so they made the rules, and now everybody's going to follow suit. And, you know, because these schools are not going to be just falling behind when, you know, Texas can set up some sort of foundation and pay offensive line recruits $75,000 or whatever it was, $50,000, go be an offensive lineman there. Like,
I mean, just how is that not like tampering? But whatever, that's another discussion for another day, I guess. Or maybe that is this discussion. I mean, I think at first, like, I think a lot of people had an emotional response to Nick Saban saying that. Like, I know for a fact, like, I was a little bit like, you know, who the hell is he to kind of throw someone under the bus like that? And everyone knows. I mean, You got to be playing dirty. I'm sorry, to get the recruiting classes that he does, there's got to be something else going on there. It's not like he has, like, you know, just like 2 5-stars and a bunch of 3-stars sprinkled in, and they just develop these kids. Like, they get everybody, and you read people's, what their responses to it. And, you know, they say that, you know, Saban's car dealership, kids have been getting cars for years, which I don't think that's a well-kept secret at all down in Tuscaloosa, because those kids are always next to, you know, a brand new car that are down there on campus. But I think it was kind of like an emotional response for people, because I think you got to look at the audience he was talking to. He wasn't like on ESPN, you know, complaining about this. He was talking at a banquet dinner, correct?
Yeah, that's how
I think he was just like playing up to the people. He's like, hey, you know what? Times are different. You guys got to figure out a way to get these kids money to come to Alabama now.
Well, and that's kind of like, he kind of says it. He's like, hey, if we have to play these games, basically said, you know, we might have to start getting, he's talking to guys that are paying a lot of money. Yeah. So, and that kind of weirded me out. I've been like, who the hell leaked that? I mean, like,
you right. Know, I know.
Like, Alabama, they should make sure they, discontinue any relationship. like, you're excommunicated from the football program. Yeah. I mean,
what's the dude from Miami, Nevin Shapiro? He gets the Nevin Shapiro treatment. Like, we don't want you anywhere near the university anymore.
Yeah. So, like, yeah, some of that, like, was really weirded me out. I've been like, who the heck would leak that one? But I guess that's just the times and days that we live in nowadays, that, you know, if you say something, you know, collect the damn cell phones ahead of time. Like,
so, I mean, looking back at just the Saban portion of it, shouldn't have named names, shouldn't have talked about a specific school, shouldn't even like reference who ended up first and what they did. Just lay out the groundwork about, you know, what's going on with NIL in the country. That would have been enough.
Yeah. And now we get to the second portion of it. When you talk about just a couple minutes ago, you said, well, we know, you know, anybody who's got wide open eyes know that Alabama hasn't been playing fair down there. Well, Jimbo basically said.
Right. Not that Jimbo anything will happen. I mean, Brett McMurphy would be in Columbus, right? He'd be camped out outside the Woody if that was said about Ohio State. Yeah. But no one's going to blow up Tuscaloosa for this information. They don't care.
Yeah.
He threw him under the bus and ran his ass over.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but when he says, like, you know, when somebody's basically trying to be a god, like, go see how God built his.
How it was all built.
All the shady stuff over there that's been going on. And, you know, Jimbo worked with him before, right? Mm-hmm.
So, LSU. He was his, wasn't he his offensive coordinator at LSU?
Yeah. So, they probably have a, I mean, Jimbo was pretty sure on everything that he was about ready to accuse him of. So like, it just seemed like he knows, and you know, they, you don't do that. And, you know, the NCAA or the SEC wasn't happy with Saban, but they basically both got a slap on the wrist for it. I saw somebody comment, it'd be like, if that was Ole Miss or Mississippi State, they had probably been thrown out of the conference.
Right. But that commissioner, you know, he was just like, guys, play nice. We don't get each other in trouble. And I mean, that's what it was. I mean, that's, but yeah, I mean, I think Jimbo absolutely overreacted, but it was hilarious, man. I loved it. I mean, that was, he said Nick Saban should have been slapped at some point of his life.
And then he says, he's like, he tried calling me, but I didn't accept the call.
We're done.
So now I'm like, when is A&M and Alabama playing each other next year? Cause I'm watching that
game. I think it's like, October 8th. I think I've seen a lot of people say circle October 8th.
That's that's a commitment on a TV right there, whatever time that is. I hope it's a primetime game. Let's, whatever fan base that game's at, let them get nice and toasty.
I know. I'm trying to look it up, but yeah, I don't, where's my schedule? But yeah, October 8th. Yeah. So I don't know what Buckeye game's going to be on, if they have one on or not. I'll look into that. But yeah, if they're both primetime, we got plenty of TVs for it. So I think that's going to be a chippy game. That'll be a fun game though. Good programs. I'm definitely excited to see it.
Yeah. And actually that just reminded me, we'll finish up the show up on just talking about some of our schedule stuff, because some of that stuff came down this week. That came after last week's show, correct?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Shoot. Yeah. We almost didn't talk.
Yeah, yeah. All the Saban stuff came after and I almost forgot about it. So we'll talk about that in a minute, but, just on this NIL stuff, like, I know, like, we were going to talk today, like, when we were earlier in the week, we were talking about the, you know, the possibility of, you know, that Addison coming over here. And then we find out he goes to USC. And I mean, there was like,
he's making $3 million.
Yeah. So, like, there's points that Nick Saban's making that are absolutely correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I think I think a lot of these college coaches, probably Saban, who's been around the business for a long time, he probably is like, you know, you can't stop every, you know, you can't really stop as a head coach what the boosters do. These $20,000 handshakes, you know, right. Come get a new car and blah, 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 this and blah, 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 that. Like, you know, as a coach, but you pretend like you don't know. And, you know, as long as, you know, when, because if you find out, then you got to do something about it. And, you know, that's good. And that's basically what ends up, if you think about it, that's pretty much what sinks Jim Trussell, that, you know, when you find out of the bad things, whatever the violation is, you got to act.
You got to go forward
and you got to go for it. So a lot of these coaches do their best to kind of turn the other eye. And I think the points that he's bringing up, you know, that is one thing, but like now we're like, well, if we legitimately, well, we can just give them $3 million. You know, that's, you know, receivers in the NFL for 1-2 year salaries, you know, mid-level receivers make $3 million right. a year. So like,
right. Like, I know, but and yeah. That's another thing, like Jimbo, like him acting like he had no idea how kids came to the school or getting signed. Like you didn't have to go that far. Cause that just makes you sound like you lose credibility to make it sound like your head's just buried in the sand also. But yeah. I mean, I think a lot of it, and that's why I say he shouldn't name names instead of it, because I don't think a lot of it's directed at Texas A&M. I think a lot of this is like, there's got to be some fear of parity and the playing field starting to get leveled again to what Alabama's done. Because when you see teams like USC, Miami, Texas that are embracing this. I mean, Ohio State is going, you know, we know that they're trying to do something, but they're embracing it. When you see that, like these are teams with the boosters. I mean, these are teams that all have big followings. And if the boosters want, you know, if they can get these kids to go there, they can turn these teams back around to national powers.
Well, if you really think about it, and like, it's kind of where Michigan and Penn State are kind of falling behind right now. Like, you know, the Michigan fan, well, we do stuff the right way. We can't get kids out of the South to come up here. Well, right. for $3 million, I'm sure you could get a wide receiver or whatever out of the South to come play for
Michigan. That's actually, you know what? Now that I think about it, that's probably why it's more important now than ever that these guys get solid head coaches in, and you got to overpay for them, because you don't want some freaking clown, you know, driving the ship on this. You need, yeah, you need a guy that knows what he's doing. If the boosters can get him the athletes, get him the players, you need a guy that knows what he's doing as a coach. And then who knows what your ceiling is?
Yeah, exactly. And
wow, see how that all just connected right there.
And I mean, it is what it is. I mean, we've talked. I mean, once Pandora's box opens, you don't close it. Especially when the NCAA never set down guidelines to begin with, or you know,
right.
And so you got all these universities. You know, they're trying to compete against each other, and that's big money. Like, you know, winning on that's. That's prestige. That's everything. You know, there is a, you know, whether anybody wants to, like, you know, the people in the fan base to say, well, you know, the research part of the university, that makes a lot more money than the academics and stuff, or the athletics. And on paper, that is absolutely true.
Sure.
But there is a certain percentage of students that go to Ohio State because of the football team. And I'm not talking about the athletes. I'm talking about just the regular students, that there is probably a sizable percentage that is, you know, 10, 20, 25%. I don't know what it is. That it's like, that is prestige to them. And they want to be there and they want to root on the Buckeyes.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the same at Texas. That's the same at Alabama. That's the same at USC. That's just what it is. And, right, you know, that's a big deal to those. So like, and winning is important because of that. And and this is the game they're playing now. And so, and at the end of the day, I mean, you know, Nick Saban, I mean, Gene Smith, he didn't mix his words when he had his press conference. He said, you know, this was basically the NCAA's fault. I mean, that's in his press conference pre-spring. That's what he said. I mean, people can go back and listen to it. It wasn't really a, I mean, it was PC and all. But I mean, Gene put it on whose fault it really was at the end of the day, all this stuff. And,
sure.
And at the end of the day, Nick Saban should say, I've been like, you know, the NCAA really screwed up in this one, that they, you know, they should have been much more realistic, especially when those laws started coming down. You had to get in front of it and they didn't. And, you know, now they, you know, they're the ones that opened up that Pandora's box, and, you know, and now you get basically what happens.
But I'm telling you, USC, Miami, Texas, they start caring about football again. And I know Texas never stopped caring about football again, but you start finding a way to get, you know, that's going to not cripple, but that's going to be a blow to the SEC.
Yeah. And, you know, and like I said, a lot of the stuff, you know, I mean, not everything. Yeah. I mean, not everything probably at Ohio State has been up and up and
we know it. We know Ohio's. I mean, but I'm not trying to get Ohio State in trouble.
Yeah, but you know, it's legal now. As long as they follow their legal standards, it's legal. This you're gonna see this happen. That's why I could see a Florida State going after an Urban Meyer, because when Miami was in their heyday, so was Florida State, and you know, Bobby Bowden kept his eyes closed on some stuff. I mean, I know he likes to say that, you know, he did everything the right way too, but I mean, I've heard some questionable things about some of the players they got over the years. And so
walk on his grave a little bit more, Michael. Show some respect. Yeah,
I have always liked Bobby Bowden, but you know, I mean, people need, like, I just love the fan bases. We do it the right way and stuff. I mean, like, nobody actually does it. Trust me, there's a lot more shenanigans than you want to believe that goes on.
You do it the right way. Right. If you're doing it the right way, your team's not one of the best teams in the country.
And the blue chips can just get away with it a little easier than, I mean, you know, the pony, the SMU, the ponies, they found that out the hard way. Yeah. You know, the A&Ms and the Texases of the world probably can get away with stuff like that.
SMU, you can't be doing that stuff, because it's going to make, you know, it's going to make those big guys in the state a little angry.
Yeah. All right. Real quick on the schedule. So the schedule, some games come out this week. So ESPN, keeping the game for Notre Dame. It's a prime day time game. So we will be playing Notre Dame in Columbus on September 3rd at 7:30 p.m. So that's the Saturday of Labor Day weekend, and which is crazy to think of. It's really not that far away.
No, it's not. Like, I mean, we're getting there, man.
This time's moving very fast. So that's going to be a prime time game. Game day is going to be in Columbus for I forget how many times. I mean, they've been to Columbus. I mean, I still think that's the most that they've been anywhere is Columbus.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
That's good. I mean, I'm guessing that's going to be a huge recruiting weekend. I know Ohio State over the last several years has, in the last decade or whatever, the non-conference primetime games have not necessarily been, the best in Columbus. But I think this will be a good one for them, because I definitely think I like where the defense is going. Marcus Freeman's a smart defensive minded coach, but I don't see how they shut down Ohio State's offense in September, unless it's like a crazy rainstorm or something like that. I don't see how you shut down Ohio State's offense and on a nice summer evening in Columbus, Ohio.
Well, and you're going to have new turf down too. So you're not going to be sliding all over the place. I agree with that. I we got to wait till we get closer to the game, do some research on the teams, whatnot. I think Ohio State got the advantage for sure right now, but anything can happen with that. But that's huge though, because we thought, everybody and their brother was under the assumption that Ohio State Notre Dame was going to be on Fox at noon. And like you and I were even talking about it the other weekend. It's like, that is like a crime against these fan bases. Like, you're talking about you guys can, people can try to debate me all they want. We're talking about two of the top, like, premier blue blood teams. What you think about when you say the word blue blood, playing each other, and you were going to play it at noon on a Saturday. So yeah, you able to get the recruits in, and it's so big for, the sport. Like, you could not have had that any time besides a primetime game. That would have been criminal to do to people.
And even the old timers in the fan base that, don't necessarily like the primetime games, it's a holiday weekend, man. So,
right.
I mean, I know not everybody gets a 3-day weekend. People have different types of jobs that they're not Monday through Friday jobs, but for a lot of people, this is a 3-day weekend. So you get to enjoy it. You get to sleep in a little extra on a Sunday because you still are going to be off on Monday. So,
right. I mean, now you get to have your brisket during the Ohio State game or whatever you're smoking that day. And you got to figure out what you're eating before that, of course, what's going to get you to that game. But yeah, I mean, you couldn't have had these two teams play at noon and watch. They'll probably play at noon the following year in South Bend,
I don't think so, because it'll be a 2:30 at minimum, because it's going to be an NBC game.
Yes. So yeah, I mean, it had to be a primetime game. So I'm glad they got this one right.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. The following year, I'm assuming NBC will probably make it a primetime game as well, because they have Notre Dame they do a couple games a year, Notre Dame in primetime. And I'm assuming that will be one of them. But I was like, this at minimum, this should be the 4 o'clock game on Fox. And, I said that if this game's going to be on Fox, then Ohio State needs to put their foot down. I mean, like, no, this is going to be a later game, because, it's a holiday weekend. There's no reason why this should be at noon. And this is a celebration. This is a big game between two big fan bases, going to be a big recruiting weekend for us. And so, no, this is going to be a 4 o'clock game, if anything. But we would prefer nighttime. I mean, all Gene said was that they were not moving it off of Saturday, that he didn't want to do Sunday or Labor Day. And so that was kind of where Ohio State was putting their foot down. But, so I don't know what happened. I mean, we were all under the impression, because, Joe Buck to go over to ESPN, that this is supposedly what Fox wanted. Obviously, they came to some sort of other arrangement. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what that is, because, Fox was already getting the Michigan game. We find out
that's going to be at noon. Surprise.
Yeah. And we find out that Wisconsin game is actually going to be on ESPN 2. And that's a game in Columbus. So I'm assuming I would be very surprised, depending who else is playing on that weekend at the end of September, that that game's not a primetime game. That would be a 3:30 kickoff.
Then. Yeah, for sure. And I'm not too scared of Wisconsin in Columbus, I don't think.
No, Big Ten teams are different than the out of conference games. It seems like we've done fine against the Big Ten schools at nighttime.
Yeah, Michigan State had a random, but I mean that was a 4 o'clock game in 2015. But still,
yeah. But no, I'm excited when we heard this. That it's just it'll be nice to have a game day. It's a good weekend. You know, it's a holiday weekend. You know, invite some people over, or you go out and you go watch a game. And like you said, you know, you get some good food on the smoker, you know, you have a few of the beverages of your choice, and you know, you pace yourself. It is a night game, and it's like, don't get out of here.
You know, I had a White Claw for the very first time last weekend. Those things, man, those would be dangerous. You can't taste anything on those. Like, you get a little hint of fruit, but like they're not overpowering at all. You definitely don't taste any alcohol. And I'm like, they're not gross. And I'm like, man, I could drink 20 of these before I even realize what was going on. Then I'd be in certain trouble.
I'm not a White Claw fan.
It was my first one ever. I mean, you can't judge me. Like, you got to expand your horizons and try something new every now and then.
Way I look at it, there's plenty of bottles over here. If I if I have to, I just get a seltzer and throw it in with a little one of these bottles over here, and there you go. Got a homemade White Claw.
A little bit stronger.
Yeah, just a little bit. But yeah, so nope, good news on that one. So it'd be nice. I'm looking forward to now when we'll find out. Now the recruiting list going into this year for this game will be probably out of this world. I'd love to see some of these kids that maybe if we can get some people in. I mean, I know the big receivers are taking their officials. Maybe we could get, you know, somehow they could get up here for an unofficial visit on. I would love to see that.
Yeah.
You know,
hopefully they're committed by then.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Anything else you want to hit on this or anything else?
No, I mean, it wasn't a ton of Buckeye news this week, but it was a fun week in college football.
The Saban stuff, the SEC stuff got really, that was really interesting. And, that's going to be that'll be an interesting game. I think that will be I have a feeling that, I mean, I know A&M ended up getting I still have this feeling that they're a couple years away. So, you know, that they might.
It's hard for a freshman to go out there and, you know, like beat those guys. So I don't. Texas and A&M both might be getting a whooping this year from Alabama.
Yeah. I think that game's in Tuscaloosa. Like, wasn't last year?
Yeah, last year. Yeah, last year was at A&M.
Yeah, so that. That will probably be a night game on ESPN. That will be, unless CBS takes it as their 3:30. But I don't know what CBS's rules are anymore with if they're completely done or if they, because they only had a couple SEC games last year.
Where's Texas Alabama at this year?
Is it
in Austin?
I think it's in Austin because that game's on Fox. You would think ESPN, but who knows, because
it's in Austin. I'm surprised Alabama didn't figure out some way to get them to a neutral site.
Yeah. Well,
wow.
It seems like a lot of those fans are there. That's a big noon game that a lot of people are upset about. I'd be upset about it too. There's just something about when prestigious programs.
Right. That's another one. That's criminal to the freaking fan base, like, that you would put that at 11 a.m.
Like, when you think about like the big games and I get it. There's big games in the NFL that go on at 1 o'clock, but usually the best game of the week is what, at 4:30 and then 8 o'clock. And then you have your Monday night football game. So it's like, you know, they're put into positions where a lot of people around the country can, you know, tune in and watch it. And so I just think, that, yeah, it's kind of kind of sad that that game is going to be a noon game when at 11, it's going to be 11 a.m. freaking Texas time.
Right. So. Yeah, I know. That's like, that sucks. And that, I mean, that's the second week, right? So Ohio State's only playing like Arkansas State or something. So that's something that hopefully that would be over pretty quickly, that you could focus a lot of attention on that Texas Alabama game.
But yeah, because I'm assuming they'll be on at the same time again.
Oh, I'm guessing that'll be a noon game for Ohio State. For
that'll probably be unless that might be the Big Ten Network game. I'm not sure. Maybe that'll be a later game, just because, you know, that's the, they get an out of conference game for Ohio State, and that might be it. All right, I think we'll call it a day on that one. So get us on out of here.
All right. Well, thank you everyone for stopping in today to the Buckeye Bar. I'm John.
I'm Mike.
OH.
IO.